What if the solution to having like an insurmountable amount of information to read wasn't to figure out how to read faster,
Right.
but to just, stop reading altogether? I mean, you log on, you see this daily avalanche of white papers, industry updates, raw data.
It's completely overwhelming.
It is. And instead of trying to skim it, you completely change the medium of ingestion. Okay, so let's unpack this. We're looking at a highly consequential batch of source material today.
We are. It's a very brief AI daily news script from July 10th, 2026.
Exactly. And on the surface, it reads like, well, a standard tech industry update. But when you look at the underlying architecture being described there, it signals a complete structural teardown of how you work.
How you think, too, and really how knowledge actually moves through the world right now.
Yeah. So our mission for this deep dive is to connect the dots on three core facts from that July 10th update. First, Google's new audio generation feature for Notebook LM. Second, the successful test of an automatic podcast publishing system. And third, the massive leap in AI agents autonomously solving problems.
Which is really the engine behind all of this. These aren't just three random news items.
No, not at all.
They're interconnected pieces of a much larger puzzle. The transition happening here is from treating information as a static resource to treating it as an active computational process.
An active process. I like that.
Yeah, we are basically unpacking the three phases of a new cognitive supply chain. You've got synthesis, distribution, and then the autonomous engine powering the entire loop.
And when you connect those three nodes, the traditional bottlenecks of human knowledge work just, they simply evaporate. So let's start with the synthesis phase,
Okay.
because that first development in our source material tackles the raw input problem head on. Google has announced a new audio generation feature for Notebook LM.
Right. And anyone who follows the space knows Notebook LM as a tool for grounding large language models in your own personal documents.
Exactly. But introducing audio generation isn't just like an accessibility update. It's so much more than that.
Oh, absolutely.
Think about it this way. If I have a digital workspace cluttered with fragmented research, half-read PDFs, scattered meeting notes, random data sets, trying to manually synthesize that is a massive cognitive tax.
It really is. Your brain just burns out trying to maintain the context window.
Yes. It's like having all the ingredients for a complex recipe just thrown all over your kitchen. But this audio feature, it's like having a brilliant study buddy.
A study buddy who's already read all your messy notes.
Exactly. A personal narrator who can look at that disorganized pile and instantly talk to you about them in a conversational auditory format.
What's fascinating here is why this matters on a cognitive level. The visual processing of text is actually incredibly demanding on your working memory.
Oh, for sure. You get tired just looking at a huge wall of text.
Right. When you are staring at raw notes, you are constantly context switching. You have to decode the syntax, map the concepts to your existing knowledge, and try to find the narrative thread tying it all together.
It's exhausting.
It is. So what Google is doing here is offloading that semantic mapping to the machine.
Meaning the AI is doing the heavy lifting of connecting the dots.
Exactly. And the AI isn't just doing standard text-to-speech here. It's performing complex retrieval-augmented generation,
Right.
right? RAG across your disparate notes. It's building a conceptual graph of the information and then generating a conversational audio script that logically traverses those nodes.
So it's acting more like a cognitive prism. You shine this chaotic, scattered light of raw text into it, and it refracts it out the other side as a coherent, focused audio wave.
That's a great way to put it. You don't get a summarized bullet point list back.
No, you get a synthesized dialogue. You can literally listen to a conversational breakdown of your own unorganized research while you're like walking the dog.
And that shift from visual parsing to active auditory synthesis is the breakthrough here. Auditory learning taps into a completely different neural pathway.
Because it feels like a real conversation.
Yes, when you hear concepts discussed verbally, it mimics human dialogue. The synthesized audio can highlight contradictions in your notes or, emphasize connections that were buried deep in the text.
Yeah.
It fundamentally changes the user's relationship with their own data. You move from the grueling act of data extraction to the much more natural state of active listening and comprehension.
Okay, so that makes total sense for the individual user.
Right.
You basically conquer your own localized information overload.
Right.
But generating audio is just the creation phase. The moment you solve that localized synthesis problem, you immediately hit the next wall, which is sharing it.
The bottleneck of distribution.
Exactly. Because if this tool allows you to turn a mountain of messy corporate research into a brilliant 10-minute audio briefing, that audio file is entirely useless if it just sits on your local hard drive.
Right. The friction just moves further down the pipeline. Information really only has value when it circulates.
Which leads us directly to the mechanism of distribution. The second update in the source material addresses this, noting that an automatic podcast publishing system has been successfully tested.
This is the bridge. It connects the localized synthesis we just discussed to the broader network.
Okay, wait, I need to stop you there and push back on this a little.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at this source and thinking, why is this a headline? Automated publishing is not a new concept at all.
You're thinking of scheduling tools.
Yeah. I've used scheduling tools for a decade. I mean, anyone can write a basic Python script or use a webhook to push an audio file to an RSS feed at a scheduled time.
That's true, but...
So does this mean the system just hits publish entirely on its own? Is the human totally removed from the distribution and logistical side of sharing this audio? How is this system any different from the standard hard-coded automation we've had for years?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, the distinction lies in the difference between a rigid pipeline and a resilient agent.
A resilient agent. Okay, explain that.
Your standard Python script or API webhook is incredibly brittle. It relies on a perfectly static environment to work.
Right. If one thing changes, it breaks.
Exactly. If the hosting platform updates its user interface, if an API endpoint deprecates, or even if the server just throws a 502 error during upload, your script fails.
And then you get an error alert at 2 a.m.
Yeah, the automation breaks, and it sits there doing nothing, waiting for a human to come troubleshoot the code. The system tested in the July 10th update doesn't rely on static, predefined pathways.
Wait, really? So it's reading the environment dynamically?
Yes. It is navigating the digital environment the same way a human would.
Oh, wow.
If it encounters a timeout error, it understands the context and initiates a retry protocol automatically. If an API is locked down, it can theoretically navigate the web interface, parse the HTML, and upload the file manually.
That's wild. So it's not just following a script, it's actually adapting.
Exactly. It can automatically generate the metadata, extract the most engaging snippets for the show notes, and adjust the audio formatting to meet the specific requirements of different distribution platforms.
So it's doing the job of a whole production assistant.
Pretty much. It handles the entire logistical tail of broadcasting without requiring a human to ever monitor the terminal or push a button.
Okay, I see the difference now. Traditional automation is like laying down train tracks.
Right.
It works flawlessly as long as the train stays exactly on the rails.
Yeah.
But the second there's a penny on the track, the whole thing derails and stops.
That's a perfect analogy.
And this system is acting more like an off-road courier. It knows the destination, and if a road is closed, it autonomously calculates a detour.
And that off-road capability completely eliminates the human from the logistical loop. The successful testing of this system proves that automation is moving beyond just creating content.
Right, like the notebook LM audio.
Yeah, it's now successfully handling the complex logistics of distribution. It signifies a closed loop. The human doesn't necessarily need to be the middleman pressing the buttons to get the audio out into the world.
You just feed the raw, messy notes into the system. The system synthesizes the concepts into engaging audio. Then the system autonomously handles the formatting, troubleshooting, and distribution to the wider world.
The friction of broadcasting practically drops to zero.
Which is incredible. But that level of dynamic adaptation, you know, the courier finding the detour, that doesn't just happen by magic.
No, it requires a very specific type of foundational upgrade in how AI operates behind the scenes.
Which brings us to the third and honestly most significant piece of the source material, the engine making that courier possible in the first place.
This is where it all comes together.
The July 10 script explicitly states that AI agents' ability to solve problems on their own has significantly improved. And it says this definitively opens a new era of work automation.
This is the underlying structural shift. The audio synthesis and those resilient publishing tools we just talked about,
yeah,
they are just downstream applications of this core breakthrough.
True.
We are witnessing the definitive transition from generative AI to agentic AI.
Generative to agentic. People conflate those two constantly.
They do all the time.
So let's break down the mechanics of that transition. What is actually happening under the hood that allows an agent to solve a problem autonomously, as opposed to just generating a really good text response?
Well, generative AI operates on next token prediction, based on a specific prompt. It is inherently a reactive system.
Right. It waits for you to tell it what to do.
You give it an input, it gives you a statistically probable output, and then it just stops. It has absolutely no memory of the overarching goal once that single output is generated.
Okay.
Agentic AI, however, utilizes a cognitive architecture that's often referred to as chain of thought.
Mm-hmm.
And it combines that with recursive feedback loops and autonomous tool usage.
So what does this all mean? It sounds like instead of just answering a prompt, it's breaking a prompt down into a whole project plan.
Precisely. You provide the agent with an objective. The agent then internally generates a sequence of subtasks.
So it writes its own to-do list.
Exactly. Then it executes the first subtask, perhaps by calling an external web search API or running a data analysis script. It then observes the output of that action.
And what if it messes up?
That's the key. If the output is an error, the agent's internal loop recognizes the failure, self-corrects, and tries a different tool. It continues to iterate, moving through its chain of thought until the initial objective is met.
So it doesn't stop to ask the human for the next prompt?
Never. It just keeps working the problem.
It reminds me of the evolution of navigation. You know, going back to the analogies.
Dear.
Generative AI is like printing out a route from MapQuest back in the day.
Oh, wow. MapQuest.
Right. You have this highly detailed set of instructions, but it's totally reactive. If you miss a turn, or if there's sudden construction blocking the road, the printed map is useless. You have to pull over and figure it out yourself.
That's exactly how generative AI works.
But agentic AI is like a modern self-driving car's navigation system. You just input the destination. The system monitors the live traffic data, detects the roadblock, autonomously recalculates the route, and physically steers the car around the obstacle.
That is a highly accurate representation of the mechanics at play here. The agent senses the environment and reacts to deviations without any human intervention.
It just handles it.
Yeah. So when the source material declares a new era of work automation, it is pointing to the fact that the human role is shifting from driving the car to simply inputting the destination.
So we've moved from giving the AI a highly specific step-by-step recipe to just telling the AI to make dinner.
Yes.
And it figures out the grocery shopping, the cooking, and the serving all on its own.
And that fundamentally alters the identity of the knowledge worker.
Absolutely. Because if you are listening to this right now, the very nature of your day-to-day workflow is on the verge of a massive pivot.
No matter what field you're in.
Exactly. Whether you manage a supply chain, conduct pharmaceutical research, or run a media company, you've likely spent your career being rewarded for your ability to execute tasks.
Right. You were the one navigating the roadblocks.
But if agents are now autonomously solving those granular execution-level problems on their own, the value of manual execution drops to zero. So what's left for us?
The premium shifts entirely to outcome management and strategic intent. The human's job is no longer to execute the subtasks.
Right.
The job is to know which overarching problems are actually worth assigning to the agents in the first place. You become the curator of intent.
The curator of intent.
Yes. If an agent can research a topic, synthesize it into audio, and publish it globally without you lifting a finger, your value is entirely dependent on the quality and originality of the raw notes you feed into the top of the funnel.
The human provides the context, and the machine provides the execution.
Exactly.
But, you know, this leads to a terrifying, or maybe exhilarating, depending on how you look at it, secondary effect.
Oh, absolutely. The velocity.
Right. If the friction of creating and distributing knowledge drops to zero because of these autonomous agents, the velocity of information exchange is going to experience an exponential spike.
It's going to be unprecedented.
We started this deep dive talking about the paralyzing feeling of information overload. But if everyone has agents automatically publishing highly synthesized content 24/7, the bottleneck isn't the creation of information anymore.
No, the bottleneck is human attention.
Exactly.
The volume of synthesized content will absolutely dwarf human biological capacity. We are basically building an infrastructure that generates knowledge faster than any human could ever hope to consume it.
It's kind of ironic, really.
It is. The technology designed to alleviate information overload is going to produce a volume of data that makes our current overload look like a trickle.
Which forces a radical adaptation on our end. Because the only way to survive in an environment where millions of agents are autonomously publishing content is to deploy your own agents to consume it.
An autonomous filtration layer.
Right. My agent is out there scraping the internet, listening to the audio generated by your agent, filtering out the noise based on my specific strategic goals, and only surfacing the most critical insights to me.
We are moving toward a highly interconnected digital ecology. The primary consumers of AI-generated content will actually be other AI agents.
Machines talking to machines.
Yes. They'll be communicating, negotiating relevance, and synthesizing data among themselves, compressing massive volumes of information into ultra-dense, highly personalized insights before a human ever even interacts with it.
It's an arms race of productivity. We've built an entirely new cognitive infrastructure here.
We really have.
So let's look at the complete picture of what we've unpacked from this short July 10th update.
The full loop.
Exactly. We started with Google Notebook LM, transforming how we interact with our own data, moving from the cognitive strain of visual reading to the active engagement of audio synthesis.
Transforming notes into generated audio.
Right. And then we saw how automated publishing systems, acting as these resilient digital couriers, have successfully been tested to distribute that audio, completely removing the human from the logistical distribution loop.
Frictionless broadcasting.
Yes. And finally, we realize this is all driven by a monumental leap in agentic AI. Systems using chain-of-thought architecture to independently solve problems, ushering in a new era of work automation.
The entire knowledge supply chain has been automated. From the inception of an idea in your messy notes to its global distribution, it changes everything about what we consider work.
It really does. But this leaves us with a fascinating, almost unsettling paradox to consider as we wrap up today.
What's that?
Well, if we are entering an era where AI agents autonomously research, synthesize, generate audio from notes, and automatically publish that audio through these tested systems, and we simultaneously rely on our own AI agents to listen, filter, and summarize that exact same content.
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
Are we rapidly approaching a future where AI systems are primarily generating and publishing information for other autonomous AI agents to consume? Or will the human listener always be the necessary final destination?
That is the lingering question. If the vast majority of information is being generated by machines, distributed by machines, and consumed by machines in a closed digital loop, what happens to the human experience of shared discovery?
It's a digital echo chamber of machines talking to machines at the speed of light while we just sit at the edges waiting for the executive summary. It completely redefines what it means to be informed.
It's something everyone needs to be thinking about.
Absolutely. You don't need to try and drink from the fire hose anymore. You just need to program your agent to build the plumbing. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the architecture of the tools you use every day. Pay attention to where the friction is disappearing, and we will be right here to help you navigate the next massive shift.